Well, morning, folks. It's good to be sharing with you here at Church in the Marketplace. And if you're listening in online, it's great that you're joining us. And we pray that God will bless you as you listen in with us this morning. I thought that since we're so close to Christmas, that today we would look at the innkeeper and see what his story has to say to us. I don't know, maybe you've been on a holiday, you needed to stay in a motel, but when you got to town, the only motel had a no vacancy sign. Maybe you can understand what it meant when it said for Jesus there was no room in the inn. The story's in Luke 2. It goes like this. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that should take place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. Everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. That was his family tree. So Joseph goes back to Bethlehem. He went to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn, a son, and she wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Notice there was no room for them in the inn. So Jesus was born in a manger. You know the story that refers to the stall, or sometimes a part of the inn that the cattle and the other animals are in. It can also refer to a feeding trough that the cattle used, which was usually made of wood and stone. That's what we typically see in nativity pictures. Either way, Jesus, he's not born in a palace. He's not born in a motel. He's not born in the inn, but in a stable with a bunch of animals. Think about it. This is the promised Messiah. This event has been anticipated for thousands of years. There have been all kinds of predictions and prophecies in advance notice where people said, one day God is sending the Messiah. God is going to send the Son of God. God is going to come to earth in human form and he's going to be the Savior of the world. So this is the most significant event in history. And yet when God does actually show up and he sends the Messiah, there's no room for him to be born. I think this innkeeper, he maybe missed probably the biggest bonanza of his life, because I reckon he could have got one of those big signs that points down and says, Son of God, born here. And you could stay in the Jesus suite for only $129.95 a night, including breakfast. I'm just kidding, just a little bit. He missed perhaps the biggest blessing of his life because he said, sorry, no room. But before we get too harsh with the innkeeper, we do it all the time. You do it, I do it, our culture does it. We don't make room for Jesus. In fact, we often want to push him out of the way. We don't want to be viewed in public with him. More and more in Australian life, we've taken Jesus out of the rooms of our culture. Out of the courtroom, out of parliament, out of classroom, out of the workroom, out of the newsroom. So much so that today Jesus often doesn't even get to celebrate his own birthday. It's no longer Christmas. We take Christ out and we put an X in the middle of it. Now it's just Xmas. Jesus is no longer the reason for the season. Christmas is no longer about Jesus' birth. It's become in many places a month-long party with friends. More parents tell their kids the Santa myth than actually tell them the true story about Jesus' birth. We're making no room for Jesus. So I want to ask us three questions. Why don't we make room? Why should we make room? And how do we do it? As we prepare to think about all that, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Christmas and for Jesus. But Lord, there's all sorts of little stories around Jesus coming. Shepherds and wise men and angels and Mary and Joseph and an innkeeper. So Lord, as we think about him and we think about his story, Lord, we pray that you would help us just in whatever small ways we can this Christmas, to find a little more room for Jesus in us. In his name we pray. Amen. It seems to me that our heart is a bit like the inn. In our heart, we have different rooms. We have a family room in our heart. That's the time we give our family. We have a work room in our heart. That's where we give our work time. We have a bedroom, maybe. That's our intimate life. We have a dining room. Some of us have a very big dining room. We may have a study. We certainly have a garage in our heart where we pile all the trash and the junk and the stuff. And if we're going to invite Jesus into our heart, we've got to make room there. So why don't we make room for Jesus? Well, there are three reasons, I think, and they're the same reasons the innkeeper didn't find room for Jesus. The first reason is that we don't pay attention. Often we're not aware when Jesus shows up around us. We're not aware when God's in our lives. God shows up in our life in opportunities we didn't know we were going to get, and in problems that we didn't know we were going to have, and in words that other people say to us. Jesus shows up in our lives, but sometimes we just don't see him there. In the Bible, it happened all the time. Jesus would show up and Jesus would be talking to people, and they didn't realize who he was, and they didn't know he was the Son of God. One time, a couple of guys were walking down the street on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus started talking with them. And it tells us they saw him, but somehow did not recognize him. Another time, Jesus was sitting by a well and a woman comes up to get water, and he asked her for a drink, and she didn't recognize him, and she gets involved in a religious debate. And then Jesus says, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who I am, you'd be asking me for a drink and I'd give you living water." She didn't notice. She didn't pay attention. She didn't recognize. When Jesus shows up in our lives, we sometimes do the same. We're unaware of it. And I guess one of the clear examples is the month of December. It's hard not to miss Jesus during December, you'd think. There are nativity scenes around. There are Christmas specials on TV. There are posters and pictures and Christmas carols singing about Jesus in the mall and carols playing in the office. But we can be not tuned in. I mean, right now there are people out in the mall doing their last-minute Christmas shopping. They're in some shops in Westfield and they're pushing a cart around. And overhead are words like, "Oh, come all ye faithful. Come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Christ the Saviour is born. Hallelujah. Hark the herald angels sing." And they're pushing a cart around totally oblivious. We're not noticing Jesus when he's around. Let me just bring a focus to this story. In Bethlehem, there was an inn there. Inns are created for the purpose of taking care of travellers, obviously. So there was a place for the travellers to go. It's designed for that purpose. It's already there. The problem wasn't that there wasn't an inn. The problem was it was already booked. There was no vacancy. Other guests had occupied it. The spaces had been filled. It was there, but it wasn't available. It's a bit of a parallel to our hearts, I think. Our heart was made to hold God. We were created to have God inside us. We were made by God and for God. And until we understand that, life isn't going to make a whole lot of sense. But what happens is we fill our lives with other things. We invite other guests in. We rent our heart out. And then there's no room for Jesus. The heart's there, but it's filled with other ideas and other interests and other values and other loves and other commitments. We don't pay attention. And then we crowd our lives with other things, and then there's no room. They may be good things, but they're just in the way of God being in our lives. We crowd our lives. We fill them with stuff. Have you noticed that stuff accumulates? I've discovered that in my garage, stuff multiplies. In the dark. I've tried to catch it happening, but I haven't been able to. But I know that the next morning I go out and think, where did all this stuff come from? When did I go to Bunnings? Stuff multiplies. It accumulates. Any of us right here now can't park our car in the garage. You don't have to put your hand up. You know who you are. Our heart was made for God. That's the purpose of our heart. But our hearts become unavailable. We've rented out our heart to other borders so God can't get in. There's no room in our heart for God. We've overbooked our life. Now, that might not be so bad, except the results can be tragic. Why? Because when our life is filled with other things, we don't have room in our life for the gifts that God wants to give us. Did you know that God wants to give gifts? The Bible says every good gift comes from God. Relational gifts and emotional gifts and spiritual gifts. But we can miss out. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to be my own God. I'm going to call my own shots. Thank you very much, God, but I think I'll do it on my own. Friends, how's that turning out for you? Not so good. Because the fact is, when we don't go God's way, what we end up with is broken lives and broken relationships and broken dreams. We end up with disappointment and discouragement and things in life we never needed to have, but we brought them into our lives because we said, I'm going to go my way instead of God's way. We miss the gifts of God by having a heart too crammed with other things. 1 Corinthians says this. It says, the unspiritual person has no room. There's that phrase, no room for the gifts of God's Spirit. In fact, to him they're folly. He can't even recognize them. Jesus described this kind of overcrowded life, and it describes many Aussies. We overbook our lives, we overspend our budget, we overestimate our strength, and we walk around tired all the time because we've overbooked our heart. Jesus describes it in Mark 4. He says, they're overwhelmed with worries about all the things they have to do and all the things they want to get, and the stress strangles what they heard and nothing comes of it. Their life is overbooked, it's overcrowded. Now I'm not talking about evil things here. We can fill our lives with good things, really good things, and still not have time for God. We can go to church 6 days a week. We can be involved in ministry, and we're so busy working for God that God doesn't have any time to work in us. That's why the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Sit down, shut up, chill out. We need to relax. Stop trying to do so much. Let God do more in us. And hopefully it's much more relaxing and much more fulfilling. Remember the story of Jesus' friends, Mary and Martha. They were sisters, and one day they invited him over for dinner. And Mary figures out what's important, at least in that moment. This is the Son of God at our house. We're only going to have this one chance, once in a lifetime. So she sits down with Jesus and starts listening. Martha, on the other hand, is busy. She's busy worrying about the hors d'oeuvres and is everything in its place, and some of us are like that. And here's where the story picks up in Luke 10. Mary sat at Jesus' feet listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. That sounds a bit like Christmas, doesn't it? We could have spent the entire last month buying gifts, wrapping gifts, decorating the house, putting up the lights, fixing the tree, sending out the cards, preparing the meals, getting everything done. And have we had any time for Jesus? Martha, it says, was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? That sounds like a sister. Tell her to help me. But Jesus said, Dear Martha, you get so upset over all the details. But there's really only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it. What's that? Getting to know Jesus. Why? Because everything else we do isn't going to matter in eternity. Our career isn't going to last beyond our lifetime. Our hobbies aren't going to last beyond our lifetime. Our bank account isn't going to last beyond our lifetime. The only thing that's going to last beyond our lifetime is our relationship with God. And God put us on earth not just to take up space and breathe and use air and retire and die. He put us here so we could get to know him, to know and love him the way he knows and loves us. Deuteronomy says it like this, make sure that you don't become so full of yourself and your things that you forget God. The third reason we don't make room, I think, is because we really don't think we need to make room for Jesus. We have this sense of self-sufficiency that says, I'm doing fine on my own. Really? I mean, we may be living the good life and we say, I'm living the good life. Great. But would you like to know if there's a better life? Because there is. The good life is good, but the good life isn't good enough. We need the better life. If there was a better life than you're living right now and God wanted to give it to you, don't you think you'd be interested in that? Don't you think you'd think you ought to at least check it out? This is what the innkeeper did. The innkeeper said, why do I need any more guests? Sorry, no room. I've already sold out. I've made my bundle. I've bankrolled it. I've made as much money as I'm going to make tonight. So I really couldn't care less about anybody else because my life, my inn, my rooms are full. And a lot of people say that to Jesus. My life, the rooms of my heart are full. I don't have any room for God. I don't have any room for Jesus. Psalm 10 says, people are too proud to seek God. They don't look for him and there is no room, there's that phrase again, no room for God in their thoughts. Do you want to know who your God is? It's whatever we think about most. Because that's what's most important to us. For some people, their God is their career. For some people, their God is their family. For some people, their God is making money. Whatever is first place in our thoughts, whatever we think about most is really our God. And the deeper reason for our inattention is really we think we're doing just fine. Thank you very much. And there's only one problem with that. We miss the very purpose of our lives. We weren't made to be disconnected from God, and we don't have any power in our lives when we're disconnected from God. Did any of you lose power during the storms last week? No blackouts? Gee, you were lucky. Okay, but you know what that's like? You notice that when the power is off, all our appliances are worthless. You know, a disconnected toaster is worthless without power. A disconnected blender is worthless without power. A vacuum cleaner is a piece of junk if there's no electricity to it. Those things can't fulfill their purpose unless they're plugged into the power. And we can't fulfill our purpose unless we're plugged into the God who made us and who gives us that power. We just kind of wander off. The Bible says we're like sheep. Don't you like being compared to sheep? We're just kind of wanderers. Yeah, hi, Sean. It says we're all like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost. We've all done our own thing. We've gone our own way. Well, that's the bad news. So what's the good news? Why should we make room for Jesus in our lives, even if it means clearing out some other stuff? Let me give you two reasons. The first reason we should make room for Jesus is because we want to know our Creator and our Savior. He made us and he saved us. We need to know that. If I said, let me introduce you to God, he created you and he has a purpose for your life, I think we'd want to be interested in that. He's our creator. You say, I thought you were talking about meeting Jesus. I am. I thought God made us. He did. Jesus is God come in human form. So the Bible says, before anything else existed, there was Christ with God. He has always been alive and is himself God. He, Jesus, created everything there is. That includes you and me. Nothing exists that he didn't make. Eternal life is in him, and this life gives light to all mankind. So I definitely want to make room in my life for Jesus because he made me. That would make life a whole lot better. Like they say, when in doubt, consult the owner's manual. When in doubt, talk to the inventor. God invented us. But he did more than that. He saves us. Let me explain. We all mess up. I think it's pretty common knowledge. I don't measure up to my own standards, let alone to God's standards. I don't know anybody who's perfect. No, I don't know anybody who's perfect. Oh, good, Rainer. Okay. In the Bible's language, we all sin. You know, we've all made mistakes, faults, fumbles, flaws, bloopers, rebellion. I've never met anybody who really claimed to be sinless. I've never met anybody who said, I'm perfect. Now, somebody said, all you need to do is get married and you'll know you're not perfect. Now, I don't know about that. You better talk to Jan, just check. So I want to not only know my Creator, I want to know my Savior. Why? And here's the reason. It's the most famous verse in Scripture. It's what we're going to look at on Christmas Day. God says, God so loved the world, that's you and me, that he gave his one and only son, that's Jesus, that whoever believes in him, shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's a good deal. God has a gift for us. It's called eternal life, life lived always in God's presence, and God's presence is a perfect place. No sorrow, no sadness, no sickness. It's incredible. God is love. But heaven is perfect and I'm not. And ultimately we can't take our lusts and our ego and betrayals and rejections and murders and rapes and wars into God's eternal presence. Heaven would be no better than earth. So God has a plan B. God says, here's what I'll do. John 3:16, I'm going to send my son Jesus, and his perfection can stand in our place. If we will trust him, he will forgive our sins and overcome our imperfection. What a deal that is. The Bible says it like this in John 1. It says, he came to the world, which belonged to him, but those who were his did not receive him. No room. And did not welcome him. No room. But to those who did receive and welcome him, he gave the privilege and the power to become the children of God because they believe in his name. That's the way we become a part of God's family and God becomes our Father. The second reason I want to open up every room of my heart to Jesus is to enjoy a life of purpose, peace and power. They're the three things that God says I fill your life with when we invite Jesus into our life and we give him more and more rooms in our life. We were made for more than money. We were made for meaning. We were made for more than a salary. We were made for significance. We were made to move beyond success. 2 Corinthians says, the smallness you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. What's the antidote? Make room for Jesus. Open up your lives, it says. Live openly and expansively. Our lives are extremely significant. If we want to know how much we matter to God, we look at Jesus hanging on the cross with his arms outstretched and he says, this is how much you matter to me. You matter to me so much I'd rather die than live without you. That's how much we matter to God. And not only does God give us a new sense of purpose when we invite Jesus to take over the rooms of the inn of our life, but we get a new sense, and this is a big one, of peace. Jesus said it like this, I'm leaving you with a gift, and that gift is peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give you isn't fragile like the peace the world gives, so you won't be troubled or afraid. What's the kind of peace the world gives us? Well, it's temporary. We've had about 260 peace treaties signed in the last 300 years. Almost none of them we've kept. The peace that comes from the world is circumstantial. I've got a good job, so I'm at peace. I lose my job, I'm not at peace anymore. I've got money in my stock portfolio, I'm at peace. The stock market tanks, I'm not at peace anymore. It's totally circumstantial. Jesus says, I don't give you that kind of peace, the peace the world gives. I give you the kind of peace the Bible calls the peace that passes understanding. What does that mean? It means that we have peace when there's no reason visibly or physically why we should be at peace. Everything around us can be in chaos. Nothing can be working in our life. And for some unexplainable reason, we are at peace. That's the peace that passes understanding. And that can only come from God, from Jesus, the Prince of Peace. He says, I'm going to give you that so you won't be troubled or afraid. And here's another thing I wish I could give you this Christmas. I wish I could take all the worries and all the fears of your life about 2019. I wish I could take those away. God doesn't want us to live with fear. In fact, it says, God does not give us a spirit of fear. God does not give us a spirit that makes us afraid or fearful. Instead, he gives us a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. And those are the three things we're going to need next year. We're going to need to be plugged into God's power so we're not running on our own energy. We're going to need a spirit of love which eliminates fear. And we're going to need a spirit of self-control. 1 John says, in love there is no room for fear, but perfect love drives out all fear. So friends, God says, let me fill every room of your life with love and peace and purpose and power. and you're going to overcome fear. The fact that the innkeeper didn't make room for Jesus didn't stop Jesus being born. My actions don't stop God. God has a plan for history. History is his story. When the innkeeper said no room, didn't hurt God. Maybe the innkeeper. And the same thing is true for us. We may say, I'm not going to open up my heart to God, or I'll give him one room in my inn. I'll give him the Sunday room, or I'll give him the Christmas room or the Easter room, but I'm not going to give him the sports room, or I'm not going to give him the room of my intimate life, or I'm not going to give him my family room. I'm going to keep those for myself. And then those are all areas that will be filled with fear. Those are all areas that he can't bless. We don't hurt God shutting him out of our life. We're the ones who get hurt. Of course, the innkeeper's story could have been just a little different. And there are various takes on the innkeeper's story. And here's another little one I want you to watch.
Listen, if I'd known then what I know now, there would have been room in my inn. Oy vey, I would have given up my own bed. But I didn't know. How could I know, right? Now, Bethlehem was so full of people. I mean, the government, they made everybody in the world go back to the hometown and register. You know, government has to have the money. And since nobody wants to stay with the in-laws, I'm full. I remember that day. We were full before dinner time, and now it's 2-3 hours after dinner when they show up. Talk about desperate. He was exhausted and scared, and she was about to burst. And as they're approaching my place, I'm thinking in my head, I know what I'll say to them. I'll say, I'm sorry, we don't have room. But by the time they get there, they just stand for a minute, gather their thoughts. He looks down, he's thinking. I notice she winces ever so slightly in pain. And he looks at me, and he says, please. That's all he said, please. Let me tell you a story. I'm 5 years old, right? I'm helping my mother set the table. I noticed that she has one too many plates. So I say to her, Ma, you got one too many plates. You know, and she says back to me, you never know who may show up. I look at her like, what? She walks over to me. She says, you never know who God may bring your way. You always make room. So I look back at the couple, and I say to them, I don't know where we'll put you, but we'll make room for you. And we did. It wasn't the nicest room, but it's all I had to give them. Mom was right. You always make room.
Always make room. So how do we do it? How do we make room for Jesus in our lives? God made it simple. It's just three words. Invite him in. Yep, that's it. It's not rocket science, folks. Just open the door. You just say, okay, God, you made me, you saved me, you love me. I open my life to you. Here's how Jesus said it. He said, listen, I'm standing and knocking at your door. If you hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and we'll eat together. We'll have a party. We'll celebrate. We'll chill out. We'll build a relationship. We can get to know God and love him the way he knows and loves us. Just open the door. The psalm writer said this. He said, open up before God. Keep nothing back. He'll do whatever needs to be done. We don't even have to do it. He does it all. He does all the saving. We just open up and hold nothing back. We just make room. We come to God and say, okay, Jesus, here is me. Every room in my heart. the bedroom, the bathroom, the dining room, the living room, the family room, the workroom, the garage, every part of me, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Jesus, it's all for you. Stuff I'm ashamed of and stuff I'm proud of. The stuff I wish had never happened and the stuff I'm glad happened. It's all yours. Come on in and take over the inn. And he says, I will fill you with power and peace and purpose and love, and I'll drive out the fear. He says, I'll do whatever needs to be done. I'll take care of it. Let's pray. Lord, we admit sometimes we haven't paid a lot of attention to you in our life. I'm sure you've been around in my life when I wasn't even aware of it. I admit that I've crowded my life with so many other things that many times I haven't had any space for you. Or I've given you just Sunday or Christmas. Haven't even been able to receive the gifts that you've wanted to give me because there was no room for them. Times I've been overwhelmed by all the things I had to do and all the things I wanted to get. And yes, the stress has strangled me and I've been distracted and I've often missed the one thing that's really important. Getting to know the one who made me and saved me and loves me. So Lord, please forgive me for the times I've been so full of myself and my things that I just forgot you. For the times there hasn't been any room for you in my thoughts. I was always thinking about other things. So Lord, I need your help. This Christmas I'm saying I want to open up all the rooms of my life to you. I want to get to know you as my creator. Thank you for making me me and for giving me life. I want to know you too as my savior. Thank you for dying for me to forgive my sins and to build that bridge to your eternal life. I want to believe in you, Jesus. And I ask humbly for the privilege of becoming a part of your forever family. And Lord, here and now on earth, I want to live a life of purpose. And I need your peace in my life. And I need your power and strength. The power and strength to have more self-control. So please, Lord, this day, fill me with your love. I invite your love to fill every room of my life, to drive out the worry and drive out the fear and drive out the anxiety. I want to open the door. So right now, in faith, I invite you again into my life and ask that you do whatever needs to be done there. Thank you, in Jesus' name. Amen.